Parshat Shlach begins with Hashem saying to Moshe, Shlach lecha nashim, send forth men if you please, and let them spy out the land of Canaan that I give to the children of Israel, one man from each of his father's tribe shall you send, everyone a leader among them. Moshe sent them forth from the wilderness of Paran at Hashem's command. They were all distinguished men, heads of the children of Israel, were they. When we take a look at these psukim, it would seem that it was the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send out the meraglim, to send out the spies. Yet when we take a look at Rashi, Rashi points out, on shlach lecha, l'da'atcha, according to your mindset, ani eni mitzaveh lecha, I'm not commanding you. If you want to, send. And Rashi quotes in the English in source 2, the idea that is found in Sefer Dvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu fills in what's missing from our story here. Vatikravunei laikuchem, you all came, be'erbuvia, in a whole mass mixture, saying, we want to send out spies. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, I thought it was a good idea, because I figured that if I would tell you it was good, you'd say, well, he's not hiding anything if he's ready to send out spies. And you insisted on the spies being sent out, and we know the unfortunate result. So, many questions need to be asked, and obviously there's a lot of Torah on everything we're saying. We're just going to present some ideas, clearly not the entire picture. So, the Eish Tamid asks, V'arei lo matzinu ki yotzei b'zeh b'chol ha-Torah kula. Tamid ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzav et Moshe Rabbeinu b'ofen muchla. What was different here that Hashem says, I'm not commanding you. If you want to send, send. And why did Moshe Rabbeinu indeed send? If it wasn't Hashem's idea, so then what is impelling him to send? And this is what we really need to understand is, and again, there's a lot here, on the level of the Meragli, the level of Klal Yisrael, what was it that prompted them to insist on the Meragli being sent? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu indeed send them? What does it mean, l'da'atcha, according to your mindset? What was the Kadosh Baruch Hu intimating him, aside from the simple interpretation, if you want to send, send. But l'da'atcha must mean something even deeper than that to try to uncover that. And we're really going to see it's three levels of what was the mindset, the reasoning why they wanted to send, lessons for our lives. And on each one of these three levels, I'd like to tie it into another idea. We know that the Chumash describes the Meraglim as Vayaturu at Eretz Canaan. They toured out. That same word, Vayaturu, is found at the end of our parasha by Tzitzis. Lo sasuru achrei levavchem achrei nechem. Do not go out. Do not stray after your eyes and your heart. And indeed, the Svarim link these two, that you have to be careful what you look at and what you don't look at. Be careful at what your eyes see. So I'd like to try to look at all three levels to tie them into a time when we close our eyes, a time when we're careful that our eyes don't see, and that's Kriyat Shema. What should we be thinking about when we close our eyes in Kriyat Shema and we are careful that our eyes are closed and they're not wandering? What's the mindset at that moment on each of these three levels? Before we begin the three levels, I'd just like to present a very fascinating insight that Rav Druk brings in sources 4 and 5, echoed in Mikdash Halevi, Rav Dinner in source 6, that indeed, one way to be able to understand all the psukim in a very glad type of way is the following. Shlach lecha anashim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed said, send men. Minimum of anashim is 2. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Rabbeinu, l'da'atcha, you find 2 men who you think will be appropriate to send out. And indeed, Moshe Rabbeinu found Yoshua and Kaleb. At that point, the rest of the Jewish people said, hey, don't just send your men. We want to send representatives too. We want everyone to be representative, not just 2 people. So Kadosh Baruch Hu's kivyachol mindset was to send shlach lecha anashim, send 2 men. The people wanted all the men sent. And that's how you understand the pasuk, says Rav Dinner at the end of 6. Vayishlach otam, and he sent them. Sent who? Moshe sent Kalev and Yeshua. Mimidbar Paran al pi Hashem. From Midbar Paran, according to the will of Hashem. because that was indeed what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. However, Kulam, the other Meraglim, Kulam, they are all Anashim Rashay B'nai Shalema. They are all individuals who were Anashim, sent from the people and not from the Ribono Shel Olam. So that you divide the Pasuk into two, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no problem with two, where the issues came, and indeed, that's where the falling out happened, was sending the rest of them. Okay, having said that, let's take a look at three approaches. Approach number one, what was going on here? Shari Chaim Rav Goldstein points out, the pasuk we have, Ashrei Hagever Asher Sam Hashem Yiftacho. Praised is the individual who puts their faith in Hashem. And the Medrash learns that this is about Yosef HaTzadik. And that Yosef HaTzadik is critiqued for asking the Sar HaMashkim to remember him and not to forget him. And because he relied on the Sar HaMashkim and not totally on Hashem, he was punished that he was in prison for 2 extra years. And clearly the Sfarim say that that was the level of Yosef HaTzadik. The level of Yosef HaTzadik was one who completely believed in Hashem, so he's punished for putting his faith in individuals. However, he says, Shezel min chovada ishtadun metel kolata. However, you and me, if we were in a similar situation, we would be required to do this minimum amount of ishtadlus effort. El she'inyan ishtadlus tluya b'madregas kol echa b'fnei atzmo. There's no fine line. It's like everyone has to draw a line in the sand. This is my ishtadlus. Going beyond that is crossing a line. This is how much I have faith in Hashem. This is how much I need to put in my own effort. And for each and every one of us, and obviously it's fluid, the amount of ability to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the amount of ability to say Hashem will provide, and out of nowhere Hashem does indeed provide, is dependent on every individual. And this is really the whole discussion, which obviously we're not going to enter into now, of Yishtadlus for Sibitachon. How much do you have to work? Is buying a lottery ticket enough? As Rav Destler points out, for some people whose faith is so great in Hashem, that's all they need to do. Others need to work more. Others need to work even more. And it depends on how much you really believe that a HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for you, and that your working is just because there's a curse to work, but has nothing to do with the money that you bring in. Had Klal Yisrael, and again, we're talking about the Doradeya, we're talking about individuals who we have no understanding of what a great level they're on. So whatever we are saying, we're just couching it in our terms, but in no way does it reflect the greatness of who they were. They were lacking some level of emuna and bitachon that they needed to send men. Had they been on the highest of levels of emuna, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the land is a great land. I'm promising you this land. Alei Reish, go up and inherit it. They would have gone up and inherited it. So on some level, they were missing this aspect of faith in Hashem that they say, whoa, let's check this out ourselves. And that, let's check it out ourselves, which is ordinary ishtadlus, which is ordinary amount that a person puts in of their own effort. Again, for that generation, it was something that was faulted. As for Moshe Feinstein, the Ordenio quotes in Darash Moshe, that generation lacked emuna. They saw the man, the be'er, the miracles in Egypt. So he offers here a very, very powerful insight. And he says in 8, Shechisaron ha'emuna shel meraglim nava mikach, she'emunatem lo yegia lahem ma'amo v'yegia atzmit. The challenge was, they didn't have to work for their emuna. It was given to them on a silver platter. They had all these miracles happen to them. It wasn't something that they had to work for. It wasn't something they struggled over. It wasn't something that they had to work hard to make part of who they are. Emuna eina niknei b'matana o b'yerusha. Emuna is not something given as a gift or an inheritance. Ela rak b'avodat tzmidit. It's continuous work. It's davening. It's learning Musar. Until it becomes part of our personality. Emuna she'nan yiknei ba'amo v'igia ela rak mitochis lavos ad mehera v'hitapa mikocha. If you're just going to have emuna because you're inspired, wow, that was amazing, I believe, and you're not going to do anything with it. That's why Rav Chaim Shlomitz points out, Rata Shivcha Layam, what Yecheskel didn't see, then why she's still called a Shivcha, right? She should be the greatest of prophetess, not a maidservant. It's because she witnessed this, and she didn't do anything about it. She maintained that level. It was a momentary flash, but if you're not going to work on it, if you're not going to make it part of who you are, so you're going to remain a maidservant. And that was the challenge of Klal Yisrael on their level. They saw, they experienced, but it really wasn't part and parcel of them because they hadn't needed to work to make it part of who they are. And that is the Chochman Matzvun, quoting Zichron Meir in source number 10, points out that this is what it means, L'datcha, in the bracket in 10, Imata Yachol Lashpi Aleihem, go, send them according to your will, which means if you are able, with your knowledge, to be able to convince them that they don't need to send messengers, that you're able to give them the amuna and be able to build them up, then you wouldn't need the shlichus miragli. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu is basically saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're their leader. If you're able to really be giving them that pep talk, that we can do it, Alei Reish, go up, you see what Hashem has done for us, and will continue to do for us, then it wouldn't have been necessary. Well, Shabbeinu was unable to do that, and Klal Yisrael weren't on this high level. Aval heim lo hayu b'madrega zot, ulufi madrega tam, and the asterisks in 10, hayu tzvichim l'chapes darchei ha-teva, laktin ha-taneis, based on where they were at. They needed to go send spies to be able to do things that would then not necessitate as great as miracles. Indeed, the Yakut Lekha Tov quotes Rav Naiman in Darchei Musar, and he said, there are a number of levels of emuna, right? When we talk about faith in emuna, the most basic emuna is emuna shekadosh baruch hu bara ta'olam. The basic emuna is that Hashem created the world. And that really, anyone who just opens their eyes and looks under a microscope, you don't have to look under a microscope, you just see the creation of this world, you know that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam who has created this world. That's level one. A higher level of emuna is Lamin Amash Adam Yotzer Bimo Yadav Shegam Zeh Naseh Deh Kodesh Baruch Hu. This one's a little bit harder. Not to say, look at what I've done, look at what I've created, but to recognize that every single thing we do is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. To recognize that all of our accomplishments and that everything that happens in this world ain't od bevado. There's none other than Hashem. So the first is just recognition that Hashem exists, that He created the world. Okay. Then it's to realize that not only did Hashem create the world, but He's continuously evolved in this world, and that there is that nothing happens unless it's the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then a higher level in the asterisks in 11, v'yish madrega gvoha yoter lirot dvarim lo muvanim banagat Hashem ubechol zot lamim v'lo lishol shelot avayamen ha'am. Even when we see things that at the moment make absolutely no sense to us. What is going on? Why is this happening? We're able to believe and not ask questions. And we're able to say, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and I believe wholeheartedly that this is called Avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid, whatever Hashem does is for the good. Now, my friends, obviously, this is a real challenge, because we, with our intellectual side of us, we with our sense of what we think is right and wrong, we with our emotional side of us, like, hey, this isn't fair, I want things to be different, right? And, you know, I want to write the script my way, both intellectually and emotionally. When things happen in our lives that just are uncomfortable, are painful, make absolutely no sense, we don't see the rhyme or reason for these things, so then we clearly say, well, Hashem, where are you? And that is the pshat, he says, a very interesting idea, that all the ksuvim in source 12 are kodesh, and Shir Hashirim is kodesh hakodeshim. So he says that all the ksuvim, all the writings, could be referred to all the songs. All the songs that we have in the Chumash, the song of Shir HaSayam, and the song of Devorah, and the songs of winning all these victories, they're holy. But you want to know what's even holier? What's Kodesh Kedoshim, Holy of Holies, is Shir HaShirim. Why? So we have in Shir HaShirim this type of relationship. On the one hand, we have Ben Shaddai Yalin, that a person who's so close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And on the other hand, you have Mitzauni HaShomrim Hikuni Psauni. The guards have found me, they've hit me, they've beat me up. So how do we be so close to Hashem when we're being beaten up and we're going through galus and we have so many difficulties? And this is the Kodesh Kedoshim, to then sing Shira, to then be able to sing to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is of the highest level. My friends, with this we can appreciate what Lekach Alekach Alipov notes, Rav Shur in verse 13. He says, when we say Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad, Hu ayichud shadam ma'amin be'amun ushlema, ki midat havaya shimidat harachamim, umidat elokim shimidat hadin, hakol hu echad. What do we mean when we say Shema? What we mean is that Hashem, which is the Yudke Vavke, the attribute of mercy, and Elokeinu, the attribute of judgment, are Hashem Echad, all come from the place of mercy. Whatever Hashem does is mercy. And he knows, Be'echamim Shema Yisrael, Samim et Hayad Aleinayim, we put our hands on our eyes when we say Shema, Lomar, as if saying, Shanu Sogrim et Ha'ayin HaSichli. It's as if I'm turning a blind eye to the intellectual side of me, and I'm tapping into the deeper part of me, Umaminim Be'emuna Shlema Kikenu. Because I look around, it doesn't seem that way. Really, judgment is coming from a place of mercy? I don't feel that way. I don't see that. Close your eyes and be able to look within and really believe and tap into that part of Hashem Echad. When you open your eyes, you have a lot of questions. When you're able to close your eyes, you're able to say, I'm entering into a different dimension. It's the dimension of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in this dimension of the Ribbono Shel Olam, everything's good. How are you able to access this dimension? He says one of the ways is Midas Hodaya, is giving thanks. And that's why right before we say Shema, we say Lahodos Lecha Ulechevcha Be'ava, to give thanks to you and to acknowledge the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name with love. And here the Sfas Emes, continuing in source number 13, points out, the Iker Midas HaBitachon Sarich Leyo Be'et Sholech Tov L'Adam, Ki Kar HaBitachon Hi Be'et Shalva Be'et She'esh Lo Hashba'a Shama She'tzarich. When is really the time of Bitachon, where you really have to invest a lot in it, when things are going great? Because when things are going great and you're feeling so close to Ribbono Shel Olam, those are the times that you have to put it into the bank account. So that when there are those challenging moments, and we all have those challenging moments, we're able to draw on that bank account. And we say, like, Hashem is with me. And I have so many examples, right? People who keep a thank you Hashem notebook, or Hashkacha Prati notebook. That's one of the greatest gifts they can give to themselves and their family. They have thousands over the years examples where Hashem is so good to them. So that when challenges happen, then they're able to say, yeah, this is difficult. At the same time, I have 5,000 good things that have happened. So I have a bank account of love and connection and appreciation to draw upon. And that's really what our challenge is. Our challenge is to be able to look through our own lives. And when something happens, which is clearly Hashgacha Pratit, and like you say, wow, here's clearly the hand of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you see how everything is orchestrated so perfectly. So then that helps us when things are a little bit more confusing, a little bit more blurry, but to say this is also coming from that same source. You know, a story we may have shared in the past, but it's a sweet story. I believe the story happened in Ashkelon. It's either Ashdod or Ashkelon. I think it was Ashkelon. Many years ago, a young Avreich and his wife moved into, let's call it Ashkelon, into an area where there wasn't too many B'nai Torah. And he was learning in Kolo, which was a little bit unusual for that neighborhood because it just wasn't at that time. So rules around Sukkot, and he doesn't have a Merpeset Sukkah, right? Many apartment buildings in Israel, at least from neighborhoods, have a balcony which doesn't have anything above it so that you can build a Sukkah without a problem. But if you're in a non-religious neighborhood, so the balcony is built one on top of each other, and obviously you can't build a Sukkah with a balcony on top of you. You have to be directly under the sky. So he asked a neighbor if he could use his parking lot, which was closest to his apartment, so that he didn't have to go all the way around and build a sukkah. And the neighbor said, sure. And this Avrich invited people over and the sukkahs and started singing with them and teaching them. And sure enough, one of the neighbors decided he wanted to learn with him, and ultimately he became frum. And this became a yearly thing where he would invite more and more people, and slowly but surely more and more people became frum. To the point that the neighbor whose parking lot it is, at one point, he also became frum. So when Sukkot rolled around, the Avrich said, you know, now that you're keeping a Sukkah, so you get back your parking lot. He said, no, I've been giving to you for all these years. I'll find another place to make a Sukkah. I don't want you to have to, you know, go all the way around. I'll be the one who schlepped. And he was able to keep his parking place Sukkah. And indeed, when we had one of these Gaza wars, there was a rocket that was fired that landed right in that place of where that parking lot, right where he built his sukkah, and it didn't explode. And he clearly, the whole building attributed it to the fact that this sukkah has been a protection for this building, you know, in the schus of giving him this parking place to be able to build a sukkah. And the end of the story is that ultimately the Avrech's child and this man who owned this parking place, children, decided to get married. And it was Corona. And where do you make a Corona wedding? You make it in a parking lot. And they said there's no better place to make this wedding than in this parking lot where we had this miracle where this missile didn't blow up. And this is the place where, you know, they became frum, and this is the sukkah, and this is the chesed, and this is what it's all about. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates everything. The missiles that don't blow up, the people that live with each other, the neighbors, the children getting married, a Corona wedding. Everything is orchestrated by the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to connect to that reality. We have to see that things aren't random. We may see just a small picture. Close your eyes. There's a much bigger picture out there than we really see. This idea of being able to work on our emunah, to make emunah part of us, is really a mitzvah from the Torah. And that, Rav Dessler points out, is a mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And the Radbaz writes, V'inyan emunah shikba ota b'libo b'nafsho tamid. You have to work on emunah continuously in one's lifetime. Rabbi Goldstein, in the Sefer, the Emunah Reality, points out that many people mistakenly think it doesn't require any sort of degree or deeper thought or recognition. Because of that mistake, and because they simply don't think about the topic of Emunah, they're content about having an inner emotional tendency to believe there's someone behind everything. The disturbing reality is that many people who are otherwise considered Bnei Torah or Hasidim believe in what is convenient and pleasant for them, and no more. Such a person also decides what Hashem wants from him and which areas he doesn't get involved, which is itself a ridiculous suggestion. Without realizing how foolish his ways is, such a person invents shortcuts in Hashem's name. And we know that this is like the joke of a guy who's looking for the parking place. Hashem, I'll give you so much money to stuck. Just find me this place. Just find the place. I'm so late for my meeting. Please, please. Then he finds a parking place. God, I don't need you right now. Thanks anyway, right? I manage myself. This is what it's about. Simply put, 18, people create their own gods. That emunah designed for personal convenience, seems appealing since it doesn't interfere with one's autonomy to determine its own way of life. This type of purported emunah is fostered with pleasure by that person who seeks being at peace within herself. After all, he reasons, isn't why a Jew enters the world. And it's this superficial idea of, I'll believe what works for me. And you're basically creating your own reality of what religion is because you want to be comfortable and you want it to fit where you're at. And that's why he says in the box at 19, one who has never thought about what he believes can't be called a maimon, a believer. Emunah has to be defined. While it may not be physical or palpable, Emunah is the engine behind every human act. Emunah that doesn't obligate a person is an Emunah. If a person believes in Hashem, but Hashem isn't part of every aspect of one's life, at all times, and in all places, then what does he really believe? And he says, Jews have never advanced beyond that Emunah, many Jews, that they've learned in kindergarten. The faith in God in heaven and looks down upon the earth, which is itself based on what the kindergarten teacher herself learned when she was three. And obviously, that's a very superficial type of Emunah. And he goes on to say in source 20, the disturbing truth is that for many people, perhaps the decisive majority of them, the words, B'siyata D'shmai, with Hashem's help, might well be an expression of Kfira. If what one means is that he needs only Hashem's help, or at least for him not to interfere with one's plans, he rejects the absolute notion that it's Hashem alone who performs, and will perform all deeds. And that, my friends, is the question we have to ask ourselves. This is idea number one. When we speak about the miraculous, clearly on their level, they were lacking this level of Emunah to be able to go in just because Hashem told them it was going to be good, and they had to see it for themselves, and they had to figure things out for themselves. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu L'datcha tried to convince them that it's not necessary. We close our eyes when we say the Shema because we recognize that we are limited in what we see, and we have to be able to suspend our eyes, our intellectual notion, and be able to rely on the Ribono Shel Olam. And this is something that takes work. It takes davening. It takes learning Sifrei Emunah. It takes learning Sifrei Musar. It really is about, and it takes life itself to struggle and to work through to be able to really give over oneself completely to the Ribono Shel Olam. That idea is level number one. Level number two, Be'er HaChaim of Wurzburg, who says, Chana says in her tefillah, Ki kel deos Hashem v'lo nizkanu alila. Hashem is the master of deos, of knowledge. The way the Sifrei Chassidus Chabad understands this is that Hashem created in this world shnei deos ba'olam, two types of thought. We're in the bracket in 22, there's a das elyon, a higher level thought, and a das tachton, a lower level thought. The higher level thought says, Omer lamala yesh, whatever is above is, ulamata ayin, and whatever is below isn't. But that tachton omer, the lower level says, lamata yesh, below is, ulamala ayin, above isn't. What's going on here? So it's a basic idea of how do we look at the world. One person who is a das tachton, the lower level, says, well, I know the lower level exists. I have nice houses and nice clothes, and the physical world is a yesh, is. The higher levels, well, you want to talk about Emunah and Charva Onesh and all these wonderful things, I don't know, I'm not sure. A person with a higher level thinking, a das elyon, says, of course God exists, that's a yesh. Man, where are we at in life? Physical pleasures, the physical reality? I don't know. I'm not sure it exists. And he goes on to explain that this is what Chana speaks about in Source 23 when she says, V'ein sur kelokeinu. There is no rock like God. And Chazal learned how, V'ein sayar kelokeinu. There's no artisan like God. And he describes that the greatest type of artist is one who can create something that looks so real, like fruit that a bird is going to come and try to peck at it, or to make a statue that people are going to pass by and nod and say good morning. It looks so lifelike. The greatest sayar, vain sayar kelokeinu, there's no artisan like God, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol has created a world that looks so real, that we think is so real, when all of it really is an illusion. because there is nothing, Einod Mavata. So we think that we're listening to each other right now. We think that there's actually a camera, and that there's sheets, and that there's tables, and there's chairs, and there's a lot of things in the physical world. Wow, isn't Hashem a great artist that you really even think that these things are real? Because the only real reality in this world is Ritzon Hashem, is the will of Hashem. Therefore, in 24, Vinei Tachlus Shekhinisa L'Eretz Yisrael, why did Hashem wanted us to come into Eretz Yisrael? Hayakim Hashekatava Rambam is similar to what the Rambam writes about the future. Why do the great people watching Avulimos the Mashiach desire the future times the Mashiach? Sha'astim Alar, say at Hashem. Then the world will be filled with Das Elyon, with the knowledge of God, and will realize that the physical world and all of its desires is nothing. The only thing that's worth anything is Avodas Hashem. That's what's most important. And we'll involve ourselves completely in knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to come into Eretz Yisrael. El Kol Kavanatam, in the bracket, Lavo L'Eretz Yisrael, Hayarak Lechol Mepira, V'tuva V'lenot Migashmir Saretz. Why did they want to go into the land? They want to go for Das Tachton. We want to live in a beautiful land, make nice houses, eat the fruit of the land, live it up. So there was like two agendas going on here. Why did the Meraglim want to send spies? They wanted to check out the land. Is this a beautiful land for us to live in? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm telling you, it's a great land. They said, yeah, maybe a great land spiritually, but we don't want to live a spiritual reality. We've had enough of the spiritual reality in the desert. I know there are other opinions. I'm well aware, according to this approach. We want to, you know, be able to live a physical reality and enjoy the physical world. Hence, Hashem says, V'natan Hashem Eitza Shishlach Moshe Meraglim Al Daito L'da'atcha. Infuse your das. Moshe Rabbeinu is called the das, the kedusha, the knowledge of holiness, who knew Hashem in 25 panim al panim, face to face. V'das elyon shmashpia das v'teres Hashem l'chol Yisrael, that it can bring that, infuse that knowledge to them in Klal Yisrael, that they'll be able to see that the land, it's not about the physical aspect, but to look for the spiritual aspect of the land. L'da'atcha, bring your das into them, that they'll be able to have the vision of the Das Elyon. But it didn't work. And that's why they come back and they say in 27, it's an Eretz Ochelet Yoshvei, it's a land that consumes its inhabitants, which means the Kedusha there takes away any of our desire for the physical world. Why would we want to come into a land like that? Yeah, it's a very holy land. Who wants a holy land? If I have a holy land, then I have to be in shul all day. Then I have to be learning all day. I want to have fun, right? I didn't come to a year in yeshiva or seminary to learn. That's what I told my parents. I came to tour the land. I came to rent cars and just, you know, go to the breadth and length of the land. I want to have a good time. That's exactly what they were saying. And our job, clearly, he says, Vavadotenu, 28, he dromein tamid l'dayto shomoshe, l'rot varim ruchaniim, kol shakein, v'davar chashuv, v'listakel olom hazeh v'bitu l'rov v'lach, v'in tamid be'emesh olom hazeh v'ayim v'efetz mamesh, olom holech v'oved. Our challenge, obviously, is to try to learn the lesson that is being taught here. And that lesson is, be able to have clarity of what's really important in this world. To be able to focus on what is what is primary and what is secondary. You know, we've all had this experience. We go into a bakery to buy some bread or something we really need. And we see a pastry, a croissant, a cupcake, whatever it is. You can pick whatever you like. And you say, I really shouldn't eat it. I really shouldn't spend the money on it. I don't really need it. I don't need the calories. But it looks so good. Yeah, but you don't really need it. I know I don't need it, but I want it. I know you want it, but you really shouldn't have it. I know. But just this once. Well, you know, just this once today. Okay. And you eat it. And then what do you say to yourself?
resin wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. But we'll do it again and again, even though it really wasn't worth it again and again. And that's just a model of Olam Haza. That we think Olam Haza, if we just have this, we will be so happy. Oh my gosh. If I just get the latest and greatest, I'm telling you, this is what's going to make me happy. It doesn't last for more than a few minutes. Then it breaks, or it doesn't work as we expected it to, or then there's something even greater, or something even faster. We're never happy. And it never fills us, and it's an empty black hole. The only thing that really fills us, the only thing that has real meaning, is those things of spiritual value. With this, my friends, on the second level, we can appreciate the Shema. Notes from Bernstein Lobokarina. He says, what is it when we say Shema v'yesh levar ki emunas ha'yichud hi she'in od mavado v'ein shum etzius lani v'rim bilti v'tano? When we say the Shema, we're really saying the Yichud Hashem, the uniqueness, the oneness of Hashem is ein od mavado. There's none other than Hashem. And that we're only here because Hashem wills us to be here. Omachut Shemayim, the idea of taking on the yoke of heaven, is being able to recognize that everything we have has to be used and channeled to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there is nothing else that has any value or any worth. The problem is, the cheshkas olam hazeh soter lemim ayichud, in the squiggly. The problem is the darkness of this world contradicts this idea. Ki nidmeh leinayim kilu yesh koch lenivrim mitzad atzmam lo so kirtzanam. When I look at this world, I really believe, my eyes, lo sesurach v'levavchem, achrei nechem, my eyes, take me on a different route. This is worth having, and this is beautiful, and I really want this. And what do you mean that there's no value except in the realm of using the physical to serve the spiritual, and ein od mavado? What I see in front of me is beautiful, it's wonderful. So therefore, my friends, what do we have to do? We close our eyes, we cover our eyes with our hands, we say Kriyat Shema, in order to be able now to be distracted. Ki etzem riyas olam hazeh, the asterisk, because just looking at the physical world is mafri lamunas hayichud. It contradicts, it runs counter to the belief in one God. Therefore, we need to be able to cover our eyes as if to exit this physical world and then enter into a dimension of a much bigger world, a much greater world, the world of spirituality, the world of realness, the world of ein od mavado. So level number one, what were the spies thinking? What was going on here? It was pushing a lack of amunah because they hadn't worked through their amunah. We have to close our eyes when we say Shema to recognize that whether we understand it or not, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Our job, work on amunah. Idea number two is to recognize that Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, wanted them to go into Eretz Yisrael on the Das Elyon, looking at the spirituality. They were very much on the Das Tachton, which is, again, an upshot and a continuation of that, again, on their level, where they were in Amunah. Again, I can't emphasize enough on their level. And they wanted to come into the land for the physical benefits of the land, to enjoy the land. And we have to recognize, when we say the Shema, we cover our eyes, that the world around us goes mamish, is the opposite of being able to hold on to the oneness of Hashem. It's everything about what you can do, what you can accomplish. Look at all the pleasures you can have. You. And it blocks out Hashem completely. And it blocks out the spiritual world completely. Close your eyes. Be able a few times a day just to enter into that space, just even for a moment, where the only thing that exists is Hashem's will. And I have to be able to channel my entire life to that reality. The final piece for us today, and again, there's a lot more we're not doing, is the Tasha Rebbe Zal in Avodas Avoda. And he says, when we talk about that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to go into Eretz Yisrael, again, it's not just about going into a physical land. That's clear. The seven nations that were found in this land, Hayu Tmirim V'Gnizim Inyanim Primim V'Amukim, the Bishivas Ha'amim Haknani Chiti Amori Prisichi Vivusi Vergergashi Romzim Neged Shivas Amidos Ha'Raol Shmitzad Klipa. We know that there are seven midos we just had between Sfiras HaOmer. We start with Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus. These are all different manifestations when in the positive we're able to serve Hashem. When it is in the side of the klipa, in the negative side, it's about service of self. So Chesed could very much be about serving and giving to others, or Chesed could be just about service of self, and what's in it for me. And every one of the midos can be used for the holy and the positive, or can be really manipulated and destroyed into the world of the negative. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Klal Yisrael to go into Eretz Yisrael, and he told them this: I want you to destroy these seven nations and be able to take these aspects of the seven negative forces, be able to conquer them, vanquish them, and then be able to build a land where there are going to be seven positive forces, and to be able to use these mitos in the positive way. What was the problem? The problem was the meragling Klal Yisrael didn't believe they were capable of doing this. And this, says the Tosha Rebbe, goes against, this is the Rambam in 32, one of the fundamental principles of faith, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives each and every one of us bechira. And we have the free choice. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that this is what we need to do, we have to believe it. 33, Lachein, Kashir Tiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'vnei Yisrael. Therefore, when Hashem commanded the Jewish people, Likaneis La'eretz Yisrael, V'lochol Mechama Mitzvah, to go into Israel, to fight this war, it's a Mechama Mitzvah, the war of that command, Lachnia Tshiva Samamim, to be able to subdue these seven nations, Hayalam Lamim Be'Emunah Shleima Ubrua, they should have believed clearly. Shibavadai Yesh Mekoch Bechiratam Lachnia Kochod Arov V'Lotzeh Harefayim. They had the ability to be able to do this. Kevan Shekein Tivalam Hakadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem commanded them, and Hashem is not going to command you to do something that is beyond your capabilities. Aval Hey Maidea Neva Psula V'Shiflus Menduma. They felt like, who are we? This full sense of modesty, they gave up, and they said, we can't do this. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu turned to Ribbono Shel Olam, what should I do? They don't want to go in. They don't think they're able to go in. Shlach lecha l'daitcha. Moshe Rabbeinu 35 was the epitome of das, of being able to make decisions. V'yadata hayom v'ashevel salavavecha. Take your das and be able to give it over to these people so that they're going to be able to have that feeling and that wherewithal that they'll be successful. And the dat, peirushit yishlach l'tocham etatcha, infuse in them your knowledge. Hainu shita'ir et koach hadat shebecha l'toch levavot b'nei Yisrael. Bring it into the hearts of the Jews that they're going to be able to have the dat machriya, that they're going to be able to do this, and that's al pi Hashem, like Hashem had commanded him to be able to influence the people. And obviously, it wasn't successful. They didn't believe in this. The Tosha Rabbi says the upshot for our lives is when we don't believe in ourselves. The upshot for our lives is when we have a sense of, who am I? I can't do this. You know, sometimes we take on a Kabbalah and we say, nah, I tried. I've tried 10 times. I've tried 15 times. It's just not working. Let me give up. You know, I say I'll get up out of bed as soon as my alarm goes. It's not working. Let me just throw in the towel. And that's a mistake. That's a mistake because we don't believe in the power that we have. It's a mistake because we don't believe in how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put in us. It's what we ended this year last week. The helam, the greatest darkness, is the feeling of how much we limit ourselves. You know, I've said this a number of times and I'll repeat myself again. Quite a number of years ago, there was the great to-do when that clip of the Chafetz Chaim walking, you know, like that 30-second clip. And I remember one of my kids saying to me when I showed it to them, like, well, how do you know it's a Chafetz Chaim? And I'm like, you feel it. it's screaming at you from the computer, like, the Kedusha is just like, wow. I mean, it was like so intense, like, no doubt. So that year, if I had a mark, what were my two great spiritual moments of that year that the Chafetz Chaim clip came out? Clearly that ranks as number one. And the second one was being Erev Pesach in a Rami Levi in Givat Shaul. And I saw in the cleaning supplies that had come to Eretz Yisrael a cleaning formula called Formula 409. It's like a fantastic spray or, you know, any of those cleaning sprays. So you'll say to me, the Chafetz Chaim and cleaning spray 409, like, that doesn't seem to be considered, you know, one I get as a spiritual moment. The other one just, you know, just doesn't rate. So the answer is that they say that Formula 409, it took 409 times till they got it right. But they didn't give up. They didn't say after 408th time, well, no luck. Why is it called Formula 409? Because it took 409 times. My friends, is that not exciting as a spiritual moment to have in your house, Formula 409? So that when you don't get up, you look at Formula 409 and say, well, it's only been 20 times. I haven't tried 409 times. I can push myself further. And I have this ability, and I can't buy into. And this is the Itzahara that says, how you? Look at you. Look at your track record. Who do you think you are? And that's what we learned from the Meraglim. Where the Meraglim said to themselves, who do we think we are? We're going to go conquer this great nation, these great nations. And, you know, such fine, good, Asoy, it's just good as it is. Just let us sit back. And we fall into that trap. Whatever we are, you know, weiter. No. And that's how we understand Shannon 37, where the people, the Meraglim, come back and they say, we saw men of greatness. Yeah, what they were saying is, these people have those Zayin Mitos. There is no way we can conquer them. Have you tried? Are you eliminating yourself? And that's the challenge that we have. Rabbi Freifeld, that's out in Sefer, In Search of Greatness, speaks about a Chovos Levavos that gives us, it's a much larger chapter, which is worth reading, which gives step by step how you first have to take small incremental steps and really be able to try this, to work on it. You know, like, okay, so I'm going to let it just snooze twice, and then snooze once, and then I'll get up. Whatever it is. And then the Chovos Levavos then takes this one step further, and he says, V'yalev b'machshavaso, you should think about it, and you should ask the Almighty to help you and give you the strength to accomplish something that's beyond your capabilities. And that's what it means, Sedavit. When you're struggling, when it's hard, turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're not meant to do this by yourself. What happens when you daven? Just because you roll out of bed and say the words of the Siddur, does that mean you're really davening? Your davening has to have a neshama. It has to have a heart. It needs sinews and veins and flesh and bones. It has to have a pulse. It has to have life. So Chovos Levavos telling us, if you're serious and you want to grow and you want to be a bigger person, daven to the Almighty and ask for help. You should say to Him, I'm limited. I only have a limited amount of strength, a limited amount of understanding. The world is a dark place, full of inscrutable mysteries. I don't know how to navigate through it. I don't know how to relate to myself. I don't know how to relate to my family, to my friends, to other people in general. I don't know how to communicate. The world is screaming, but I don't understand what it's saying. We talk and blather all day, but we're not really talking to each other. Our words come out of our mouths stillborn. It's a terrible tragedy. We don't know how to open our hearts to each other. But what should I do? I'm limited. I need your help. I need you to give me strength. So what happens when you plead with the Almighty in this way? The Chovos Levavos is hallowed Sefer, whose pages Jews have been kissing for almost 1,000 years, tells us what happens. The Almighty will grant you your request. He will open up the gates of wisdom and knowledge for you. The Almighty will strengthen your intellect and your physical body, so you'll have the wisdom and the strength and the stamina to rise to the next level that you desire. even if it's beyond your capabilities at this moment. It will not always be beyond your capabilities, step by step. Wow, my friends, do you understand what we're talking about here? We're talking about, you know, sometimes we look at a situation and we say, there's no way I can do this. This is beyond me. I don't have the time. I don't have the capabilities. I don't have the strength. I just don't. I am maxed. You're right. Right now, where you are, you don't have the strength, you don't have the abilities, and you're maxed. But that doesn't mean you don't really have the strength, the ability, and the energy. It means right now you don't have it. But there's a lot more in you than you even give yourself credit. We say in Moldim, Rabbi Kurzer Tzatzal brings down his book, The Art of Jewish Prayer. We say, Val nishmoseinu ha-pekudos lach, and on your souls that are entrusted to you. What do you mean, your souls that are entrusted to you? Don't we have the souls? Right, the souls that are entrusted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brings down there a very powerful idea. Hashem gives us just a small amount of soul in each and every one of us. The majority of our soul is pekudos lach. It is entrusted in the bank up in Shemayim. And Hashem says, I'm giving you the soul that you need right now, but what I really want from you is to be able to draw down more soul potential. I want you to push yourself and daven and yearn that you should become bigger, not necessarily fatter, bigger, greater, right? And that you should be able to take life and be able to expand who you are so that you are able to do more. You are able to push yourself more because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu then gives you more soul. When you get more soul, you get more ability to hold that soul. You get more strength to deal with that soul. Then it's a whole different picture. 43. For what is our greatest problem? I think we can encapsulate it in one brief statement. We're frozen in place. We are what we are, and we find it next to impossible to change, to progress, to rise, to become bigger people. But the Chavos Vavos tells us that we have the means to break out of our ruts. We have the means to acquire wisdom and understanding and strength that will enable us to grow and progress without limit. Yes, we have unlimited resources at our fingertips, but first we have to take the first step. We have to find in our hearts a desire to change and to grow. Then we can dive into the Almighty. And he said, perhaps this is the meaning of the words we say in Shema. Va'er einenu b'sarasecha, illuminate our eyes in your Torah. We ask for light. Now, your Torah isn't just Bereishis Bara. Your Torah is the entire medium of our purpose in this world, of our focus in this world. Illuminate us, the power that can give us limitless light. It can illuminate all the pathways of the world for us with the pure light of wisdom. We have to ask for it. We have to make the first move. When we're able to see, wow, there's really more there. When a person discovers this light, he finds movement. He finds mobility. He finds he can extricate and liberate himself from every narrowness, from every anguish, from every pettiness, from every meanness, from every baseness. We have movement. We're no longer tied down and frozen in place. And this is what we say after Tekiyah Shofar. We say, Ashrei Am Yodea Trua, Hashem, Be'or Panecha Ya'alechum, to walk in the light, the countenance of Hashem, means to be able to take that shofar blast and be able to break out of that narrowness that we're in. The Min HaMeitzar Karatika, from the narrow straits, Anani B'merchavka, that Hashem answers us, from the expanse. The tragedy of our lives is we're burdened with an attitude. We are what we are. A day passed, a week, a month, another Rosh Hashanah, another Sarat Mitzvah. It's 20 years, we're cynical, and we've gone nowhere. But if there was someone who could come and open our eyes, really open our eyes about ourselves, and show us a glimpse for a moment of what we could become, we'd be transformed. 44. We would be shocked that we're so close, yet so far. But it's not really so far. It's within our grasp. We just have to dive forward. My friends, on this level, the final idea for today. Let's summarize and we'll get to the Shema as a final idea. On the one hand, we have, talking about Shema in hand, so on the one hand, we have Emunah. Work on our Emunah. Emunah, whether it's having a daily Emunah come in on your WhatsApp or learning a sefer, whatever it is, just to work on it, or Emunah, to make it part and parcel of our lives. That's clearly idea number one. The Meraglim on their level didn't have the Emunah, so it's Rav Moshe, something that they processed, and therefore they had these doubts about coming into Eretz Yisrael. We close our eyes to say, we know what we know, and we understand, and we're limited, and Hashem and Elokeinu is one, Shira Shirim is Kodesh Kodeshim. On level number two, we can appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, the people wanted to send spies because they wanted to live on the Das Tachton. Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to live on the Das Elyon, and that we have to realize that there's nothing in this world. It's all an illusion. When I close my eyes, when I open my eyes, I'm distracted. When I close my eyes, I realize, Einod Mavato, there's none other than Hashem, O Machut Shamayim, and it's able to allow me to recalibrate my life. On the third level, what was the Meraglim about? It was they didn't believe in themselves, and this is one of the greatest tragedies that we all face, that we don't have enough belief in ourselves. We have to daven. Formula 409. We have to believe that we can do it. It may take time, it may take falling, shall we pull tzadik the kam. We fall, we get up, it's possible to do. What's the idea of covering our eyes on this level? Rav Brazil, Bashvili Niver Olam of 46. The Mekubalim bring the Minhag Yisrael that every time we walk in and out of a room, we put our hands on the mezuzah and we kiss it. What's the idea of this? One of the ideas is to recognize our uniqueness. We know that our hand, whether it's the fingerprints or whether it's the line scored on our hands, represents our uniqueness. There is nobody like us, right? That shows our uniqueness. And the score of our hand touches the mezuzah, which are scored, right? When the sofer writes and he scores the mezuzah, that score meets score, that we recognize there's no one like Hashem. He's created us. We are unique, and we have a mission to fulfill. This idea is also found in the Shema. The Shema of Kabbalat Omukl Shemayim is to be able to say that each and every one of us, Kol Yochi V'Yochi, Dehainu Kavodas General Shu Echad Miyucha V'Tzva Hashem. When I cover my eyes and say Shema, it reminds me, what is Kabbalat Omukl Shemayim? That I accept the yoke of Hashem's kingship. It means that I am here to worship, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when I cover my eyes with my hand, and my hand, or, you know, the Sfardim with the three fingers, right, the shin, the fingers, the hands represent my uniqueness, my fingerprints, the lines on my hand. There's no one like me. That's how I identify my uniqueness. When I cover my eyes, I'm reminding myself that what Hashem wants for me to accept the yoke of Hashem's kingship is that I need to be a general in the army, that there's no one like me. Just like there's only one Ribono Shel Olam, there's only one me. And if I am really going to understand that Hashem has given me a purpose in this world, it means that I need to believe in myself to go out and do what I need to do. Even if you don't know what your mission is, whatever comes your way, that's your responsibility to try to do it in the most kvod shamayim and bring you the greatest glory to Hashem's kingship that you can in this world. And I'll just add to this idea. I was once staying in a mashkiach of Kashrus home in Atlanta, and I apologize, I forgot his name, which is unusual. I forget most people's names. And he added the following word. He said that the two parts of our body that are reflect our uniqueness are our eyes and our fingers. Right? You do a biometric passport, many of you have them, right? All you have to do is look into the machine, they see your eyes, and, you know, you're able to go through. And if the eyes don't work, so you put your finger down, and then that works. When I cover my eyes with my hands, it's a double reminder that there is no one like me, that my eyes are unique, my hand is unique, right? Those biometric. No one like me. They have my eyes, they have my hands. And I need, as part of my Kabbalat Omukl Shemayim, is to believe in myself. If Hashem made me unique, that there's no one in the world like me, really from the beginning of time until the end of time, that I have a job to do. I have a mission to do. And part of the Kabbalas Omukl Shemayim, accepting the yoke of Hashem's kingship, is to be able to remind myself, Don't look out there what this person's doing and that person's doing. Focus in on yourself, right? Don't try to be someone else. It's already been taken. And that is the focus of the third lesson. Believe in ourselves, daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help, and recognize when we say the Shema, recognize that everything Hashem does is good. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Realize Ein Od Melvado, there's no one but Hashem, the whole world is a mirage. And recognize that you are unique in this world, and you have a mission to do that nobody else can do. In so doing, we are then working on rectifying the sin of the miracling, where our yearning is to create a world of belief in Hashem, of closeness to Hashem, and a world that will scream out, Ein Od Melvado, there's no one but Hashem.